But now I am coming to you, Holy Father, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Please be seated. I started talking about this last week, this idea that Jesus' joy being in us is what makes us complete. It's the thing that gives us complete joy, that makes us whole people, that makes us happy. And Jesus, in that discourse, describes and pretty much states that that joy is only given to us as we love one another. Love is the key to joy. Love is the key to making us the people we were meant to be, which is to be joyful people. That is God's plan for us. And we hear Jesus saying that again this week. And he says, I am coming to you. He's talking to his Father in heaven. He says, I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. So we're reminded again that the message of the gospel is a message of joy. It's a message of joy in the world. It's a message of love. And he explains it a little bit further for us this week. And the first thing that I want to draw our attention to, he says, and now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. I am coming to you. This is, of course, just before Jesus gets betrayed to the Roman authorities and gets crucified. And this is before Jesus ultimately resurrects and ascends to heaven. But he knows that his time with his disciples is very limited. He knows that he is leaving them behind. And the thing is, unlike lots of other crazy cults that sprung up in that time, and unlike lots of other crazy cults that sprang up in our time, think Jonestown, think those UFO cults where people get taken out of the world, right? That's the whole goal. The whole goal is to ascend in some way at that moment in time. Jesus has no truck with that. He says, I'm sending them into the world. I'm sending them into that dark and scary world, and I want them to fight against it. So, Heavenly Father, protect them from it so that my joy might be in them. Jesus doesn't want us to walk away from the world. Jesus wants us to engage with it. And now when we talk about the world in this sense, particularly in John's gospel, the world is John's description of the world of human society. It's a world of material gain. It's a world of where power and might makes right. It's a world where wealth and success are supposed to equal happiness. It is a world of selfish desires. It is a world that pits us against one another in a rat race. It's a world that divides us. It is a world that divides and conquers people, all in the name of their own happiness. Jesus, on the other hand, unites people and conquers the world. To him, the real source of joy is love. It's unity. It's communion with one another. It's not being in competition with one another of trying to get the best deal, trying to be on top, trying to be the number one, know more than everyone else, have more power than someone else, have some more wealth or status or prestige than anyone else. That is not the world Jesus calls us into. He calls us into a communion, unity. He says, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. As Jesus is one with his Father in heaven. That is to say, Jesus is God made flesh. The two of them are like this. That kind of unity is the unity that Jesus wants to see in his disciples. And that kind of unity, that kind of love, that is the source of joy. And that's also what we need in this mission that Jesus gives us, because my brothers and sisters, he's given us a job to do. At the very end of this passage, right now he is currently praying for his disciples, right? He's saying, I'm going to send them out into the world, protect them from the evil one, Heavenly Father. Protect them from the world itself, Heavenly Father. Make sure it doesn't divide them. The very next verse is, I ask not only behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, so that they will be one. That unity that Jesus wanted in the early Christian community, he wants it for us today. He wants that unity. He wants us not to be divided by simple and selfish things in the world. He wants us not to be divided by things like class or race, socioeconomic status, or political party. He does not want us to be at each other's throat fighting other fights in this world, because guess what? The world divides and conquers people. Jesus unites people and conquers the world. This world of distraction and pain and despair and fighting and selfish gain, that's not what he's calling us to do, because he knows it won't make us happy. He knows it won't bring us joy. And he knows this because he made us. He knows why we were made. We were made for love and for joy and for unity with one another. And he says towards the end, this is the mission, by the way, as you, talking to his heavenly Father, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. In the same way that God the Father sends his only Son to love, to teach, to be present with the world, to ultimately die for the world, and ultimately rise again and lead everyone who comes to him to eternal life, that's the same mission that Jesus gives us. You ready for a wild ride? That's a pretty big mission, isn't it? And that is why he is praying for our unity, because we can't do it alone. We can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not Jesus. Are you Jesus? We're not supposed to do this alone. We're supposed to do this together. As Jesus was God's glory, truth, and love in the world, so now are we God's glory, truth, and love in the world. Jesus went to his Father in heaven, and he left us behind to finish his work. And the only way we can do that is if we work together. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would remember that we were made for joy, that we would remember that we are made for love, that we would remember that the world may try to divide us and conquer us and crush us. It may try to lift us up with selfish desires and gain and ambition only to tear us down, but that God's love will give us joy, will give us satisfaction, will give us peace, and will give us unity. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But now I am coming to you, Holy Father, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. That they might have my joy made complete in themselves. Jesus was talking about joy last week, right? He had said that he was hoping that his joy would be in them, in his disciples, and that their joy might be made complete. And that joy he was talking about is the joy that he had in loving them, in laying down his life for him. That joy came from the Father in heaven himself. And when we were talking about that, we realized that we are made for joy. We are made for love, and we are made for joy. We are made to get joy through love. And Jesus is expanding upon that message this week, because he's talking about how we need to stay together, to be united in order to participate in that joy. And he starts up, he says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you." Now when Jesus is talking about the world in the Gospel of John, he's not necessarily talking about the creation. He's not talking about all the beautiful things that God has wrought in the world. He is talking about the creation of human beings. He is talking about human societies, human ways of doing things, human ways of existing in the world. So when he says the world, he's talking about all the stuff that we do. And he's saying he's not part of that world. He is saying this world that prioritizes material gain, wealth, success, power. This world that prioritizes selfishness and division, seeking your own above all others. This rat race that we've used that term. This world that divides us along political lines, along racial lines, along socioeconomic lines. He is not part of that world. Our world, the world that we have created for ourselves, is a world that divides and conquers people. It's a world that keeps us separate and at each other's throats, and thereby we are never really happy. We never have joy. Whereas Jesus unites people and conquers the world. That's his plan. And so when he's talking about that, he is saying, I'm no longer in the world. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. So that the people that Jesus leaves behind, his disciples, because he knows he's going. He knows he's going to be crucified shortly, and then he knows he will ultimately resurrect and ascend back to the Father. So he knows he's leaving them behind. And so he's saying, Heavenly Father, protect them against the world so that they may be one as we are one. Because he realizes that the greatest threat that the world poses to his church is that of disunity. It is that of it inserting itself into the Christian community and tearing us apart along arbitrary lines and distinctions. Again, political ones, socioeconomic ones, racial ones, ones about class. The world divides and conquers people, but Jesus unites people and conquers the world. And so when he says that they, us, the disciples, may be one as we are one, he is talking about his unity with his Father in heaven. He's talking about how the Word, which was with God in the beginning, that unity is how we as Christians should live. He's talking about being like that, right? Almost indistinguishable. Even if there is some kind of distinction between people, it is not a threat to the cohesion of the whole because of the love that binds it together. In the same way that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, we as Christians are called to be one. He has no use for division. And here's the interesting thing about Jesus. In a lot of heretical cults and strange sects, and all sorts of things, there's this idea of taking people out of the world, right? Leave this sinful world behind. Leave this ignorant world behind. We've seen it in our times, Jonestown, right? Or those strange UFO cults where people stand on hilltops waiting to be ascended into heaven through some kind of teleportation beam. He's not talking about that. He's saying, I'm leaving my disciples in the world. He expects us to stay here and continue his mission. We are here to testify against the excesses and wrongs of this world and continue that mission that Jesus started so long ago. And that is why he is praying for his Father in heaven to protect us. Protect us against the world, to protect us against the evil one, to protect us against disunity, because he also knows that we can't do this alone. He says, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. In the same way that God the Father has sent his only Son to be incarnate, to live with us, to teach us, to love us, to heal us, to die for us, and to rise for us, that's the same mission that we have in the world. Whereas Jesus was God's glory made manifest in the world, God's glory, truth, and love, so now we, after Jesus has ascended, are God's glory, truth, and love in the world. Jesus went to the Father, and he left us behind to finish his work. But he knew we had to be united in order to do this. I'm not Jesus. Are you Jesus? Is anyone here Jesus? He did his mission on his own, but he knows that we need each other to complete that work. And that is why he is praying for unity. That is why he is praying the disciples will stay together, because, again, The world divides and conquers people, but Jesus unites people and conquers the world. And if we're wondering if this message still applies to us, maybe he's just talking to the disciples. The very next verse after this is, I ask not only on behalf of these, his disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, that we would all be one. This is Jesus' message for us today, and it is carried down for 2,000 years. It is the same mission, and it is the same message, and it is a message of joy gained through love and unity, and it is applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago. And that's a beautiful thing. Because once again, the point of all of this is joy. And Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, the Word of God spoken so lovingly at the beginning that brought all life and being into the world, Jesus knows what we were made for. Jesus knows what will bring us joy. And he is telling us that joy only comes through love and through community. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would stand together against the dividing impulse of the world. That we would realize that material wealth, gain, success, power, that these are all lies. They are to divide us and keep us selfish. And that we would realize that love, unity, and communion with Christ and with each other is the surest path to our own joy. In Jesus' name, amen. But now I am coming to you, Holy Father, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. We started talking about this a little bit last week when Jesus was saying that he was hoping that his joy would be in his disciples, and that their joy would be complete. And he linked that with love. He was saying, love one another as I have loved you, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. And so he linked love with joy. He linked those two things together, and he said that that joy that would be in us is the same joy that he had, and the same joy that he got from his Father in heaven, the joy of God himself among God's people, because that's what we are destined for. We were made to be joyful and to be loving. And so he continues this week. And this week, Jesus is aware of the fact that shortly after this discussion he is having with his disciples, he is going to be crucified, die, ultimately be resurrected, and ascend back to his Father in heaven. He knows these things are coming. And so on behalf of his disciples, he starts praying to his Father in heaven to protect them in the world. And he's also, my brothers and sisters, praying for us. Because the very next verse after this says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. So this is for us. What we are hearing today, this is Jesus' prayer for us living today. And he says, and now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. And he says that they do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. What does Jesus mean by this word, world? He's not talking about the creation, the beautiful thing that God has made with God's own word. He's talking about the world that people create for themselves. He's talking about a world that prioritizes material gain, wealth, success, political power, the world that has this thing that we call a rat race, the world that prioritizes selfish desires above all things, that lifts people up and casts them down and tries to tell them that this will be their source of happiness. That world. That's not the world of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to be loving, in unity, in communion. The world is all about disunity, selfish desire. The world divides and conquers people. And Jesus unites people and conquers the world. That's the difference. And so he is asking his disciples to be protected from this world because, let's just face it, we live in a world that seems to thrive on dividing people. It divides people along lines like class and race, socioeconomic status, political opinion, and party. This world divides us from each other and separates us from community. And if we are to believe Jesus, it's only in community that we find love and joy. So Jesus' answer to the world is to be antagonistic towards its values. And so that's why he's praying to protect us against disunity, to protect us against the world. He says, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. As the Father and the Son are one, as God and God's Word are one, united, complete." Jesus wants us to have that kind of unity. And that's a pretty tall order when you consider the way that the world seems to normally work. But Jesus wants that kind of unity for his disciples, and he wants that kind of unity for us today. He does not want us to be divided. And there are reasons for this. One of the reasons, as I keep pointing out, he says they do not belong to the world. And he says, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world," which, by the way, he's still talking to us. We have been sent into the world. So as Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, was sent into the world, Jesus was sent into the world to walk with us, to love us, to teach us, to heal us, to die for us, and to rise for us. That kind of sending, so are we sent. Just as Jesus was God's glory, truth, and love made manifest in the world, so now are we God's glory, God's truth, and God's love manifest in the world. Jesus went to the Father. He left us behind to finish his work. And this is where the unity comes in. Is anyone here Jesus? I know I'm not. Jesus did all this by himself. He knew we'd need help to continue his mission in the world. He knew we would need each other. That is why he is asking God the Father to protect us from disunity. That is why he is asking God the Father to protect us from the world. That is why he is asking God the Father to protect us from the evil one. Because again, the world divides and conquers people. Jesus unites people and conquers the world. That is why he prays for our unity. And that also goes back to, again, that our joy might be complete. Because Jesus knows that it is only through love and unity that we will find joy. And you know why he knows this? Because Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is the Word spoken lovingly that brought into being all creation, all people. Jesus knows what we were made for because he made us himself. So he knows what will make us happy. And he is telling us, he is swearing to us that we will find our joy in love and in community. That's what we were made for. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would not be divided by the world. My prayer for us today was that we would not be seduced by the false promises of the world. My prayer for us today is that we would realize that we were made for joy. We were made for love. We were made for unity. And that we would seek that unity as we come to the table today and then go forth into the world just as Jesus has sent us. In Jesus' name, amen.